This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. Today is President's Day, and this year more than most, that calls for a consideration of presidential powers. And we are exactly 1 month into the Trump administration with a president who is taking on just about everyone, the U.S. intelligence community, the federal courts, the press, even Nordstrom. So let's talk about all of it with Ellie Mistal.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ellie. Of course, you are a legal expert and blogger at Above the Law. You also serve as our legal editor for WNYC's Supreme Court podcast, More Perfect. So we thought you'd be pretty perfect to talk about these issues with. So let's start, Ellie, with the most notable exercise of presidential power, I think, in these first 30 days of the Trump administration. That's the so-called travel ban. So, Ellie Mistal, can the president or any president do that? Or does Congress regulate immigration?
Congress is supposed to, but let's be clear, there are powers that the president has in this arena, and there probably was a way that he could have instituted some kind of a limited travel ban that would have passed constitutional muster. It doesn't look like he tried to do that, so that's kind of why we're in this situation. But no, the president does have, you know, broad executive authority on these issues. We just recently passed the 75th anniversary of the Korematsu decision. Korematsu was the Japanese internment case, and that came through an executive order by Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II, and that passed Supreme Court muster.
But is wartime different from peacetime for a president in terms of his power?
Absolutely. At least it has been historically. Now, one of the things that Trump has done, I think, is kind of have the country feeling like we're in a perpetual and constant state of war. And if we feel that way, then we are more inclined to give the president wide broad authority.
Let's talk about another order the president issued that received a lot less attention, Ellie, but I think is no less significant. And that's when he ordered up plans to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Can he do that without Congress?
No, I think what's going to get him there is that Congress controls the money. And it is hard to understand how Trump intends to build this wall with no money. One of the things to remember is that, look, the Constitution contemplates separation of powers, and the executive powers are in Article 2. Congressional powers are in Article 1, and that's not a mistake. The Constitution is written to place most power and most authority in the hands of Congress, and the presidential office is a weaker, or at least it should be a weaker, second check on power.
Well, you know, while historically we've been counting on Congress to restrain the power of the president, it seems like the attorneys general have been on the front line of fighting Donald Trump in court these last 30 days. Is that right?
It's been quite amazing. You can almost say that state attorneys general are first responders. And it's also an interesting flip of the traditional liberal conservative breakdowns, where now all of a sudden all of these kind of progressives and liberals are really into states' rights. But yeah, the state attorneys generals have really kind of looked deeply and looked and acted quickly to figure out what the president can do and what he can't do. One of the things that's really helping them right now is the 10th Amendment, actually, which reserves anything not enumerated in the Constitution back to the states. It means that the police power is reserved back to the states. And if we think about things like the travel ban or what he's doing with sanctuary cities, what he's really talking about are policing efforts. And the Constitution makes it very clear that policing has to happen at the state and local level, and that's really a place where attorneys general are sticking their flag in.
How about the courts? I mean, they have intervened. When do they and when should they step in to rein in a president?
Article now 3, the third branch of government, has an immensely important job right now to check executive power. They were very happy to check executive power during the Obama administration. We're about to find out if that door swings both ways.
To what extent are presidential powers a partisan issue? Do Republicans believe more in presidential authority than Democrats or vice versa? Or is this an issue of democracy writ large?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that every president tries to expand their power regardless of what party elected them, right? The real check on presidential power is supposed to be Congress. And it's when Congress rolls over for the president, that's where the problems come, regardless of who's the president and regardless of what party controls Congress. That's the power battle to focus on.
Ellie Mistal is legal editor for WNYC's Supreme Court podcast, more perfect. Thank you so much, Ellie.
Thank you, Jamie. Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day to you.